بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا أيها الناس قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected علماء الكرام, brothers in Islam, Allah Rabbul Izzat has granted us many favors and many abilities. And it is for mankind to use these abilities and not to be proud about. No sooner he becomes proud, then his ruin and destruction starts. If we consider the bird, the bird, it constructs its nest without any quantity surveyor, measurement surveyor, without any architect, without any engineer, without any mathematics, without using calculus, without using technology, without using any set square, without using anything. When it constructs that nest, perfect. To such an extent that the fruit which is weighty can fall down, but the nest will withstand the tornado, will withstand that wind. Displaying to us that, O mankind, do not make fakhr, do not become proud because you have got the faculty of intelligence. That bird can do more than us and better than us, construct it and doing it systematically, sophisticated. What to be proud about is Iman, because Iman differentiates us between Kufr and Islam, between those that are going to Jannah and those that are going to Jahannam, between those that are pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and between those that are not pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in fully understood that Iman is valuable, Iman is most valuable, and Iman is that which has to be worked upon. The more effort we make upon Iman, the better the Muslim. And that is the discussion today. And we will try to define three words: Iman, to Islam, and if time permits, Ihsan. Simple words, but taken for granted. What is Iman? What is Islam? What is Ihsan? And whenever there is a time to make some comment, I will make the comment also, inshallah. So let's get back to madrasa and say, what is Islam? Islam refers to everything that is external. And Iman relates to the internal. Iman is located in the heart. Iman is situated in the heart, located in the heart, and Islam refers to everything that is external. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Buni al-Islam ala khamsin, that Islam is based upon five things. And he enumerated those five. recitation of the kalima la ilaha illallah. In another hadith, the most famous hadith, the kalima shahada is there. Recitation of the kalima is an external action. And that is why it's classified external, and Islam is external. Wait for Hajj. Now the Hajjis are getting ready. They want to go and spend Ramzan there and also spend Hajj and come back. And most of the time, a person goes out of his house, goes to a different locality, he becomes a better person, he comes back. Change of environment makes a person better. Person is physically ill also, he goes to the hospital under the doctor's instructions, and then he is there treated and he comes back a better person. That is as far as his physique, his body is concerned. Spiritually also, if a person goes for Hajj and he goes in the proper company, he goes in good environment, then there is a strong possibility that he can come back a better person. That is why we say constantly, go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The change of environment will make you a better person. Because staying in our environment, which is devoid of spiritual benefit, and when you go out, inshallah, you can become spiritually enlightened. The Haji must remember that. He must go out and behave like a Muslim, and then come back and do not get caught in the customs. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one hadith comes flashing in the mind. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a Muslim must behave in such a manner that he does not become humiliated. Come to the custom and you hide this and you hide that and you deceive this person and then they catch you in the custom and Muslim Haji is looking red in the face. After coming back from Hajj, he brings all those things that comes, looks red in front of the kafir, the white man. Month of Ramadan is coming, one of the pillars of Islam, the external thing, fasting. Unfortunately, what happens year in and year out, Muslim is well, he's medically fit, but as soon as Ramadan dawns or Ramadan comes near, then the ulcers become peptic, then the stones begin to trouble, then headaches become migraines, then he has to take out all his teeth, then he has to go to the doctor, then he is very sick. So he mustn't keep Ramadan fast. Everything starts when Ramadan comes. Otherwise he is healthy, he is walking around, he is prepared to go to London and Paris and business and Hong Kong, here, there, everywhere, he is prepared to do that. But Ramadan comes, then he is very sick. Again, this thing is pertaining to the external. Alhamdulillah, Ramadan is coming, Taraweeh will be read. There are so many Muslims in the world and so many countries in the world where there are Muslims and no Taraweeh is read. No Quran Taraweeh is read. And we are fortunate. Alhamdulillah, in this masjid there will be Quran Taraweeh. Then to another problem we got. The come Ramadan, first 5 days everybody, masjid is chock a block. You want the mutawallis are worried, must we construct another masjid or must we extend the masjid? And come as the Taraweeh proceeds, then the musalli is taken to. Then he comes in the end. Comes for the first 5 days and the last 5 days. He thinks he's Jannati after that. We Muslims should not be like soda water. We should be regular. Al-istikama fokal karama. That steadfastness is more superior than miracles. To perform a miracle is no achievement. But to be steadfast on something, inshallah, that will give barakah. And here is a golden opportunity for us. The weakest one of us, that become regular in Isha, become regular in performing the Taraweeh. Allah Ta'ala will make it easier so that you can make Taraweeh, you can make the Isha after Ramadan. Provided we do it regularly. Once we do a thing regularly, we make space, we make place in our time, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for us, we'll be able to perform ourselves. We must come with that intention. And after your witr salat, inshallah there will be 5-10 minute bayan on the Quran, the Maulana will give. The request is that we should sit. Instead of standing outside and gossiping, instead of standing outside and wasting time, instead of standing outside and doing nothing. Sit, learn about the Quran. There are so many of us adults who require education. The more we learn about Islam, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for us to practice. Ilm is essential for correct practice. So we should take an opportunity that the ulama are going to speak and we should be present. Then comes giving of zakat. And remember a few things about zakat, few basic things. That when we are calculating the zakat, then it is basically your assets minus your liabilities. When you get the net result, then you take 2.5% and then you distribute it. Remember, one is taking out your zakat. Secondly, that you should give your zakat to those organizations which distribute it correctly. No use taking out your zakat and giving it to the wrong organization. Because then you very well know your zakat is not being fulfilled, is not valid. And remember that when you're taking out your zakat, when you're calculating your zakat, then your ukhlam you must calculate also. You take it in account. And also your stock in trade. And if you've got shares, then the current value of those shares must be taken in account. All that must be taken in account, minus your liabilities, then you get the figure and you make 2.5% of that and give it out. And it is good to give it out in the month of Ramadan. For Ramadan I have stated that the poor, the destitute will have a good Ramadan. So all these things we can see that they are pertaining to the external. That everything external, that is Islam. Iman is situated in the heart, Iman is internal. The stronger the Iman, the stronger the Islam. The weaker the Iman, the weaker the Islam. See, for example, you have got a bulb and you've got two bulbs. Now this bulb here, one gives out more light and one less. But the bulb is same size. Why? Because one bulb has got more voltage or watt. And the other one is less. Similarly, every Muslim has got Iman. We are not saying no Muslim has got no Iman. Every Muslim has got Iman. But his Iman is strong or is weak? Stronger the Iman, you will see more Islam on that person. The weaker the Iman, you will see little Islam on that person. Little external of that person. Islam is a barometer for the Iman. Islam, which is external, will judge the strength of the Iman. Result? A person who is slaughtering the Sunnah, a person who is massacring the Sharia, a person who is false in his claims, a person who is not performing Salah, a person who is engaged in Kufr acts and Shirk acts, a person who is steeped in Bidah, a person who is going contrary to the Sharia, and you can see it, that means his Iman is weak, that is why he is doing all that. If on the other hand his Iman is strong, then on the cold night he'll leave his bed and come for Salah. Then if his Iman is strong, then if the kuffar mock at him, he'll still adorn the libas of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he'll keep the beard on. And if his Iman is strong, then he'll put his wife in parda, he'll make his wife dress properly and he himself will dress properly, irrespective of the people who say and criticize him. If his Iman is strong, then he'll behave like a Muslim and he'll say the truth even if it costs his life. So the stronger the Iman, the stronger the Islam. So a person who comes around and then he sings songs and then he wants to make the people engage in innovation, bidah and acts of kufr and shirk, he cannot have strong Iman. He is misled and misleading others. And a person who comes and he comes into the country and he says, oh, when the Salat time comes, now I am reading Salat in Medina, then definitely that person is false, definitely that person is misled and he is misleading the others. And such people must never ever be followed. Iman and Islam, what has become with us, that we have taken these two words as interchangeable in our vocabulary and in our usage also. Whereas Iman is separate and Islam is separate. And because of common usage, Islam and Iman have become interlinked, interrelated. happens when the iman is strong? When the iman is strong, then he's able to see through it. He's able to see things from an Islamic view, from an Islamic standpoint. For example, a person goes into a room and they give him no light, they give him no means where he can see things. Then he will be in absolute darkness, he will be absolutely lost. That is the kuffar and the mushriks. That in this world here, they are in absolute darkness and lost. They do not know what they are doing. A person goes into a room, a dark room, and you give him a pen light, then whatever, wherever the ray shines, he'll be able to see that. And if you give him a torch light, wherever the ray shines, he'll be able to see that. But because of the dimness of that light, he can, and he may be able to, he may even pick up a stick. And he, in reality, will pick up snakes. In the darkness, he may be able to feel, and he may pick up a stick. He may think, I'll pick up a stick, and he can pick up a snake. But if a person goes there and puts on the light, then he'll be able to see things in reality. That's a snake, I must stay away from. That's a stick, I must use it against the snake. A person with strong iman, emanating from the heart, and he'll be able to see this is Islamic, this is non-Islamic. This is kufr, this is shirk, this is bid'ah, this is custom, this is habitual, this I must leave out, this I must adhere to. This is detrimental for my spiritual being, this is good for me. And remember, existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our belief. And the antithesis of that is kufr. And the antithesis of sunnah is bid'ah, innovation. And the antithesis, the opposite of tawheed is shirk. Everything which is good, we should aid. Tawheed we should aid. Sunnah we should aid and uplift and uphold. Everything conforming to the Sharia, we should uphold. Kufr, acts of shirk, bid'ah, we should shun and we should not aid. We should not aid spiritually, morally and financially. So if they come around to you, if they come around to you for money, if they come around to you for financial support, to aid kufr and to aid shirk and to aid bid'ah, you have got all the right as a Muslim to say no. Your money is halal. If it is halal, let it go to halal places. Do not aid kufr. Do not aid shirk. And do not say, no, we have to help these people who come around for their collection for temple or for their collection for their kufr acts and shirk acts. Why? Because we are living in this society. Islam is clear about it. That we cannot add, we cannot aid those things which are wrong, which are absolutely wrong. Remember, Islam, what it is, and Iman, what it is. One more point, Ihsan. Quickly I will mention it. Ihsan means, according to the Hadith, that to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if to say you are seeing Him. And if you cannot do that, then to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this feeling that Allah is watching. Now in every action of ours, whether it is in the masjid, or outside the masjid. But is there a problem that we have become part-time Muslims? Come into the masjid and we fold our trousers. And go outside the masjid and let it go down. And the night has passed, Shab-e-Barat, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the person whose trousers flows below his ankles, his dua is not accepted and he is not forgiven. Some masjids, unfortunately, they call those hats also. That you come in the masjid and put the hat on and you come outside the masjid and you leave the hat. So you leave Islam and go away. So Ihsan means everything that I do, whether it is in business, whether I'm a teacher, whether I'm a mechanic, whether I'm making salat, that I must have this feeling Allah is watching. For example, if I'm a mechanic, then I must repair the car as if to say Allah is watching. And verily Allah is watching. So when the person comes, then I can say that these parts were removed and these were put in. If I'm a teacher, I must do the job properly. If I'm a husband, then I must behave properly when I go to my wife and behave in an affectionate manner. Everything. So to add beauty to Islam, every action in Islam, the quality of Ihsan comes and adds beauty to it. So we have got a building. The foundation is the belief. Islam is the structure, and adding beautification to this building is the quality of ihsan. And Islam has survived the test of time, because Islamic ideology and any ideology is based upon two things: belief and actions. We have got a sound system of beliefs, a perfect system of belief, a logical system of belief, and we have got a natural system of action. That is why we have been able to withstand the test of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand the beauty of Islam and to become practical Muslims. And an opportunity, Ramzan is coming. Wa akhiru da'wan, alhamdulillah.